Welcome back inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard from FanRagSports.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, PewterReport.com, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And we are back after a couple day hiatus to enjoy Thanksgiving weekend. We've got a lot of takes. We've got a lot of stuff that occurred this weekend that, man, it's hard to know where to even start, Trevor, because there's so much action, so many rookies playing well in the NFL that we want to talk about. But it just seems like there's so much happening in the college football front that has NFL draft implications that there's a million things to get into like every Monday.
Yeah, no, it was rivalry week is my favorite week of the year because college football is always crazy. You never know what's going to happen. There's obviously still NFL stuff that goes on. It's always the same week as Thanksgiving, right after Thanksgiving. So like rivalry week really is my favorite week of the year. And holy cow, did we get a good start on that with, I mean, not even just Thursday, like a Friday games. That UCF-USF game was
Oh, my goodness. What a game. I mean, Quentin Flowers had like 600 yards of offense by himself. It was one of the most insane. He did it. He had 605 yards of offense by himself and five touchdowns.
What do you think? What do you think about Quentin Flowers? Because I heard that he was, going to get invited to the East-West Shrine game, I believe.
Yeah.
And that's down here in St. Pete where I'm at. So that's something that I get to go to each year. So I'll get to see him in person go up against some different competition, which is good. But I mean, let's just kick it off there and talk about him. What do you think about him? Do you think that they're going to let him play some of that East-West Shrine practices, maybe even during the game? Do you think they're going to keep him at QB or are they going to make him switch positions?
I think that they'll let him run some at QB, but he'll also get reps at other positions. I think he'll want that. He'll want to showcase what he can do at multiple spots. There are some attractive things about him as a quarterback. I don't think that NFL teams will necessarily see it that way, and I don't know that I completely blame them because there are some, you know, the accuracy is erratic at times. And
yes,
he threw some pretty deep balls the other night. So I don't know. I honestly haven't taken a hard look at him because I do expect him to change positions. So I'd feel bad being overly critical based on what I've seen off of, I think, two viewings live this season. UCF definitely left some receivers open down the field, but he did throw some nice vertical balls the other night. And I mean, he's just such, I think he's hard to contain. I think he's just in the pocket in terms of his ability to extend plays and do things like that. I think that's such a great attribute for a quarterback to have, and he has that. I would love to see him at another position. I want to see what he offers at another position, to be honest, because I think he's a really fun athlete, and he's built really well. Like he has a pretty stout build to him. So whether it's running back or slot receiver, I just want to see him do a bunch of different things, and then maybe he can do a bunch of different roles in the NFL. I don't know whether it'll be quarterback or not. It doesn't sound like it will be from everything we've heard so far, but I'm just excited to see how that athletic, because remember Braxton Miller, everybody was like, he's going to be an unbelievable wide receiver. And then it really hasn't worked out that way in the NFL. And he is a good athlete, a smart kid, but you know, he just really hasn't developed the way that people hoped he would because it is hard. But then you see other guys that are able to do it, Mohamed Sanu, Randall Cobb. I mean, there's guys that have been able to do that at a really high level. So I think that Flowers, it's always fun with his type of player just to see how many different things can they do, how many different roles can they project to, and it might take him a little while, but I think that there's a lot of traits there that are really intriguing. Now, playing wide receiver, if that's what he's asked to do, it's a totally different story, so I don't know.
I think there's, and Tyree McCants, too, I think, you know, a lot of people were watching USF, understandably, for the first time last Friday, and Tyree McCants, he was that number 8 wide receiver for USF. He's kind of a guy who you look at him and you just go, wow, he is not built like a wide receiver. Mm-hmm. And I think that's very true. And I think the best two prospects for USF are McCants and Flowers. And I actually think both of them are going to end up having position changes. You know, McCants, he does not have the build to play wide receiver. It's just not going to work.
It's so weird. He's like 5'11", 240 pounds.
Right. And like McCants is totally going to be a running back. And to me, that's fine because McCants does his best work when the ball's in his hands anyways.
Right.
He's a determined runner. He can get around defenders. He even, like, obviously has nice hands because he's been a wide receiver. So that's going to be a plus, too, especially if they can teach him to be a solid blocker out of the backfield because of his size, then you're talking about a real good possible third down back, because it's a guy that can do well in short yardage situations, block in the pocket, and even go outside for certain passes. So I think that could be a great niche for McCants that we're not going to see from him while he's at USF. And then Flowers, I do think he's a wide receiver. I saw some of the Lamar Jackson, Quentin Flowers, little comparisons here and there. But
oh boy.
Even though that Quentin Flowers has the arm to get the ball down the field, the ability to sometimes throw some pretty deep passes like you were talking about, the game is going to speed up so much,
right?
Not only from college to the NFL, but from, you know, the American Conference to the NFL. You know, it's just going to speed up so much. And Flowers is already late on some of his throws and kind of gets bailed out by, you know, just some wacky college football plays
that
we love and
right.
that put up the ESPN highlights. But I do not think that Quentin Flowers is a quarterback. I think it's kind of the same thing with Braxton Miller. This is a guy who, you know, he could be a great athlete. Just get the ball in his hands a different way and kind of teach him in different ways there. So those are the two, but great prospects from that game. And that was a fun one to watch. And that was just the beginning, man. Like the rest of the weekend kind of popped up as well. Got kind of crazy in there.
It felt like, because it was caught up in all the Thanksgiving festivities, we didn't really, Pitt didn't get its due diligence for a below 500 team knocking off Miami. I mean, it was just
a freshman QB, right?
Right. Who really, to be honest, has not been good this season. So
no. Pitt's been awful.
Yeah, Pitt's been horrible. Awful. I mean, they're not even bowl eligible. 5-7. This is embarrassing for Miami. And you could say that about Syracuse too. But remember, Syracuse didn't have Kelly Bryant got knocked out of that game, or in the Clemson game against Syracuse. Bryant got knocked out of that game.
You get a pass for that.
I think they will end up, because they also have played a tough – I mean, they beat Auburn, you know, who's now – you know, how good does that look?
Right.
So
Auburn's going to be the number one team in the country.
I mean, they're poised for it. I mean, they really are. That looks really good for Clemson, where Miami, who's the best team they've beaten? Notre Dame? Just lost to Stanford? Three wins?
Yeah, I mean, they boat race Notre Dame, so, I mean, that helps.
Yes.
But, yeah, you're right. Notre Dame does not look that good anymore.
I mean, I think Miami's a good team, but I don't think they're one of the four best teams in the country.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. I think Malik Rozier, the quarterback, definitely kind of showed us, you know, the concerns about him are very real. You know, he's a guy who's had a couple of big games this year where he's been able to put the ball in good spaces down the field. But, man, just backs against the wall, and consistency with Rozier, it's just not there. It's just not there. And I know he's young, but, yeah.
And the consistency is not really there with Kelly Bryant either, which will make it interesting. They will make Saturday's game incredibly. I mean, I think Clemson is obviously the better team, but Clemson they will play down to the level sometimes. They will leave the door open at times. I thought they could have really throttled South Carolina. I mean, they still won big, obviously, but offensively, I thought they left some opportunities on the field to really bury them, and it ended up not mattering because the defense played so well and South Carolina's quarterback played so poorly. But I think that Clemson has much more talent, but again, we've talked about it. Some of the dudes on Miami's defense really intrigue me, and what I do think about Miami is they play with an attitude. And coming off a loss with everything to play for, and right or wrong, I think if they win, they're probably going to be in. And I don't think they're one of the best four teams in the nation. You know, I'll be kind of bummed to see Miami in, because I think that it's just going to result in somebody blowing them out in the playoff. But at the same time, I think they look at this opportunity to say, you know, we have one loss. This is it. If we can bounce back, we can beat Clemson. We can put that on our resume, and we can probably be in this college football playoff. I think that defense is going to come out playing incredibly hard, incredibly physical. I think they're going to put on a nice little performance. It's just a matter of whether their offense can get going, and same thing for Clemson, I think.
Yeah, there's no way you can keep Miami out if they beat Clemson. There's no way, because that's a championship game that they have won. And two, you know, just going back to what you said, the character of them possibly bouncing back from this is going to be a big deal. And even though, you know, heck, even if Miami won the national championship this year, I would still have in the back of my mind that, yeah, but are they really that good? You watch them, and especially whenever you have inconsistencies from the quarterback play, you leave yourself being open to basically being beat any week. You just have to kind of overcome it and make sure that you're on your P's and Q's everywhere else. Miami had been to this point before that Pitt game. And so now I think we really get to see, hey, here's a Miami team that's no longer undefeated. You know, that infinite swagger that they had with the turnover chain and everything, you know, they don't have that undefeated mantra behind it now.
Right.
So now it is all about how real was that? Was it just hype because you were undefeated, because you were on a roll? Or is it really who you are and you can pick it up after a loss when you really need to in a winner, basically, you know, a win in your in situation against Clemson. So I think we'll really find out who Miami is. Obviously, this game, I'm glad that they get a shot because they do have a lot of fun players on that team. But there's no question that the winner of this team is in, whether they deserve to be or not. Now, I mean, it gets interesting. You know, the winner of the SEC Championship's got to be in, right? Like, even if it's Georgia, they're in, correct?
Yes, there's no way. Yeah, here's the deal. Auburn is in the weirdest situation because how many teams that have beaten the teams that they've beaten, have beaten Georgia and have beaten Alabama, could lose this game and could not be in because they have three losses already because they played Clemson and they lost a close one and they let LSU come back and beat them. That's the one that really will haunt Auburn if they don't win, because I think even if they lost, if they had lost a one possession game to Clemson, and then they went and beat Alabama and Georgia and played some of the other games they played and dominated some of the other teams they've dominated this season, and then they went and lost in the SEC Championship game, I think there would be an amazing case to still have Auburn in the...
I think they'd be in over Alabama still.
Oh, yeah.
If that was the case.
Right. But with three losses, there's just no way.
Right. You can't put a three-loss team in the title.
Right.
You can't. In the college football playoff. You just can't.
Right, and you can't do it, and so that would open the door for Alabama, maybe. But you know, to be honest, I think the winner of the SEC Championship game gets in. I think the winner of the ACC Championship game gets in. Or, yes, the winner of the ACC Championship game.
Oklahoma's going to get in.
Oklahoma going to get in. If they win, Oklahoma will. Now, if Oklahoma loses, I don't know that they will get in.
No, if they lose, then the Big 12's not in it.
Right, I would agree, yeah. And if Wisconsin wins, I think they're in. And if Wisconsin loses and Ohio State wins, you can't put Ohio State in. You can't. They no way do they deserve it over Alabama. I mean, so that would be the one hiccup to me that I see. I mean, if Oklahoma and Clemson take care of business, winner of the SEC Championship game gets in. Those are three of your teams. If Wisconsin wins, I know they haven't beaten anybody, but that would be a win against Ohio State. That's impressive. They beat Michigan. I don't know if that matters to people or not. And they're undefeated. They're in undefeated conference champions in a Power 5 conference. They're in. You know, they're not one of the four best teams in the nation, but it doesn't matter. I'm not going to argue about it.
Their schedule is unbelievably weak, and I think that Wisconsin would lose to basically any playoff team if they got in.
Right. But, or Alabama.
I mean, you can't keep them out.
Right.
If they're undefeated, there's no way.
Right. There's no argument again. I mean, what'd they do? They didn't.
You just can't do it. But I mean, Alabama, man. Alabama is so tricky because here we are in almost a nightmare scenario for the College Football Playoff Committee. Because no matter what happens on Championship Saturday coming up, Alabama and especially, let's say, Auburn wins, okay?
Yeah.
Alabama's only loss of the year will be at number one in the nation. Here's the tricky part becomes... Alabama hasn't really played anybody. They really haven't. Their best win is what? Mississippi State right now? Mm-hmm. Who cares? But the problem is that you know that it's Alabama, and this is absolutely one of the top four talented teams in the country.
Right.
So if you're sitting here, they don't even have a quality win, and their only loss is at number one late in the year on a rivalry weekend, and this team is as talented as it is. I mean, is there any chance that they keep a conference champion out because they put Alabama back in?
Well, here's the scenario, I think, where Alabama gets in. I think the best case scenario for Alabama is if Ohio State were to win and Alabama gets in over them. Because I don't – you can't keep Oklahoma out. You can't keep the ACC champion out. You can't keep the SEC champion out. There's no way. The only one is if Ohio State won it and won the Big Ten, but they have two losses and they got drubbed by Iowa and they got smoked by Oklahoma at home. And I know that's a good team, but yeah, they got smoked. And I think that's it. I I think Alabama would be in over Ohio State, and I think they should be in over Ohio State. Now, people have asked me this all weekend. They've been like, how do you think Alabama's a top 4 or 5 team, you know, if they haven't played anybody? Because it's freaking Alabama. Like, I can still observe and scout talent and know that this team is incredibly good. Now, they have suffered some serious injuries, and I think they would probably have beaten Auburn if their defense wasn't so depleted, but they still have incredible depth. They still manage the line of scrimmage incredibly well on both sides of the ball. They can still run the football at a high level. You know, Hurts isn't good, but the receiving core is great. And I think that Hurts can do enough damage with his legs. I still think this is one of those four teams. But at the same time, you know, to me, if Alabama and Wisconsin played, I'm picking Alabama all the way in that game. But you can't keep Wisconsin out if they're undefeated and they win the Big Ten title. I mean, you just can't. There's no way. So that, to me, is the best path for Alabama. If Ohio State were to win and then, I don't know, man. I'm taking 11-1 Alabama over what Ohio State offers 100% of the time. I mean, I just don't think Ohio State can. I would be very upset and frustrated if Ohio State got in over Alabama, because I just look at the. I don't think they deserve it. I don't think that in any way they deserve it.
One of the interesting things that was talked about a couple of weeks ago with one of the people who was in the College Football Playoff Committee is he said the phrase that there are no good losses, and I was like, what does that mean? You know?
Yeah.
What does that mean for certain teams? That takes my argument that I just said Alabama's only loss is at number one, and if the committee just goes, nope, it's still a loss, it just doesn't really matter, then at that point you're looking at a resume of who you beat, and Alabama doesn't stack up. So I really don't know. You know, we can sit here and logically have our own debate, but
right.
I really don't know how the committee's going to look at it. Now, here's the interesting part, and this is something that we got into a little bit, and I want you to kind of dive into
yes.
a little bit of this first. But UCF is undefeated.
Right.
And not only are they undefeated, they rolled basically everybody USF and came out, and, you know, I don't care what you had to say. That's a rivalry week. It's a signature win. It's an emotional win. They're going to go into Memphis. If they beat Memphis, who just put up 70 points a game last week.
But they already killed Memphis earlier in the season. We should point that out, too. UCF did.
Right, right.
They murdered them. It was like 40 to 13.
If they have absolutely destroyed everyone in front of them, tell me your thoughts on this UCF team.
I think they're a good team. I think they should get a bowl game. In no way do I want to see them in the top four. Not as long as it's a four team. Now, if you expand to an 8-team format, I'm interested. I'm interested in seeing an underdog in there every year as a 7 or 8 seed, maybe. You know, your best team from a non-power five. If you got an undefeated team like that, but you know, that's fine. I'm open to that. You're going to get way more blowouts. If you put them in, what are they going to be, the 4 seed? Okay, you put them in against the number one team in the nation in the first round, you're going to get way more blowouts in that game than you will these upsets that people dream of. It's a great idea in theory to want to see the underdog in there to pull off the upset. I'm telling you, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. UCF is not going to go beat Oklahoma. They're not going to go beat Clemson. They're not going to go beat Alabama in the first round of the College Football Playoff. As good a team as they are, I think they're a good football team. So as long as it's 4 teams, like, people are like, oh, smaller conference team, like, you know, what are they supposed to do if the big guys won't schedule them and yada, it's tough, you know, like, expand 8 teams. I can't, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat it and say, like, oh, you should just let them in to be nice. Like, no, I don't think it works that way. But I think UCF's a good team. I think that if it was 8 teams, I would love to see them in the 7 or 8 spot and try and pull off an upset in that way. But I ultimately, no, I don't think that if you're limited to 4 teams and you're limited to 3 games there in the College Football Playoff, I think you've got to do everything you can to get the best, most proven 4 teams with the most proven schedules into those spots so that you have the best chance logically at the best games. Maybe once in a blue moon there would be one of those teams that pulled off the upset. I don't know. I can't see UCF being that team.
Now, okay, you said 8. What about 6, though? What about your thoughts on a 6?
Yeah, 6 is interesting. I think there's been some years where I would say, you know, 6 teams, there really aren't 6 great teams. You know, this year I would love to see 6 or 8 teams, man, because it just seems like as much as I rip on Iowa State, Penn State, like, I think those guys are capable of pulling off upsets and beating some of those top teams. I just don't think that they deserve the opportunity to play in a four-game format based on the way that their regular season has gone. Now, if they were in their 6-8, that's a compelling matchup. What if Iowa State's a 17 and, you know, they're playing Georgia or Alabama or Auburn or somebody like that in the first, you know, that's a great first-round matchup. If it were six teams this year, do I think UCF's one of the best six teams in the country? Absolutely not. Would I consider them deserving a spot in that? I think I'd consider it a little bit more if you had five auto bids and then one, you know, coming in like that. I think I could get behind it a little bit more. Do I think that ultimately it would give us the best games, though? No, I don't. I think the best games would be if you put the best six teams that hold the strongest roads in the regular season. I think that those are typically going to give us the best games if we were to play in a six team format. But I mean, everybody's going to want to root and cheer and see for the underdog until it happens, and then they start getting smoked a couple years in a row, and then people are going to be like, okay, we've seen how this goes. That's how I believe it'll go. Now, they don't play the game, so we don't know 100% how it'll go. I'm just saying what I think would happen.
Yeah, so I'm torn. I really think I like the idea of a six-team playoff, because one, it gives you an opportunity to, like, when you have a UCF, when you have a team that is clearly just not going to have the resume any of these other teams are. There are sometimes, those once in every couple years, 5 years, 10 years, whatever it is, that you get a small school that actually does deserve. But because they just don't play in a real conference, you don't necessarily know that. And so they could always have the stigma of, they're just a small school, so they're not really going to match up. Because here's my thought with UCF. And this is what you and I talked about on Twitter a little bit. It's probably going to end up that Alabama does not make the college football playoff. And maybe they're going to get a very good, New Year's Bowl instead. There's a chance that they might face off against USF or UCF.
Right.
Hey, that might be cool. Who knows? And you know what? I would take Alabama too. I think Alabama wins that game. That's just the way that it is. But it's college football, so here we go. What if they don't?
Right.
They didn't. Then all of a sudden they're sitting here, they're undefeated, they just beat Alabama, who was the number five team in the country, and UCF's just like, we never got a shot to play for it all. We never got a real shot. And if it's six teams, then that allows for that to happen, because I think that you can put a team like UCF in that sixth spot and force them to then win three games in a row against the best in the country, and at that point you really are the best team. However, on the flip side, what I don't like about six is that the fact that it is college football and that wacky things happen every single week. Heck, Pitt just beat Miami. So, knowing that, the more teams that you put in, the more tainted you possibly make that tournament, because if somebody gets in that just has a lucky week, then you can say, that's sports, that's the way it is, you've got to come to play every week. But at the same time, to your point, keeping the integrity of the playoff and keeping it three games, two semifinals and a final, it's even though you might leave out one or two teams that are deserving, you're getting the best four.
Right.
And the case is often that.
Yeah,
and a friend of mine was having this discussion the other day, and he said, look, you could talk about four teams, six teams, eight teams, whatever you want to say. I don't feel bad for you if you don't make the college football playoff, because guess what? If you win all your games and you're a Power Five, you're in. That's the end of the story.
Right.
Wisconsin's proof of that. Wisconsin has the weakest schedule I've ever seen, and yet if they win one game this Saturday, they're in. So that's what his thought is. It doesn't matter if it's four, six, or eight. My little counter to that is, hey, look, UCF is undefeated. They maybe deserve a shot, because like we said on Twitter too, we probably think that UCF loses to really almost any of these teams. Yeah. But we also would have said that Miami was going to beat Pitt, So what we think is going to happen, none of us can predict the future. So why would that hold a team who is undefeated and been up to every single challenge that they've faced, keep them from winning it all? So there's a lot of factors that go into it.
And that's why I think we should go to eight, is because if you do that, then you give those teams the chance and you don't screw over anybody else that played a tougher schedule in the process.
But I mean, but if you get eight, then, I mean, if you're putting eight in, then you're putting a team like USC in, who just, like, straight up doesn't deserve to be in. Or well, like Notre Dame might even get in. Like, there's just teams that just don't even deserve.
There's no question if you go to eight, you expand the parameters, and you, and I think that's why they don't go to eight. If you go to eight, you expand the parameters to get in, and you lessen in some way. I still don't think it's significant, but you lessen in some way the importance of the regular season, because it becomes less of a big deal to lose one game. And that's always been the thing in college football. If you lose one or two games, you know it could matter any given year. Now this year everybody's kind of lost one or here and there, so I think that there's an argument both ways, but I don't know. I'd like to see it go to eight. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be intriguing, but there's no question in the regular season it would lessen things some.
I think it'd be fun, but I think at this point the committee all thinks to themselves, we would rather have to make a tough decision in the beginning of December than have eight teams in.
Yeah.
And not make a tough decision.
Right. I think that's how they feel about it too. I don't know. I mean, I'm with you. I would love to see the underdog team, you know, have a chance, but I just can't do it at the expense of a team to me that's clearly better. Like I think I'm a very like logical kind of person too. Like, so when I look at that and I say there's no way, like, they don't deserve to be in over Alabama. Like, that's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like,
if the refs let UCF's offensive line hold like they let them do against USF, maybe they can't beat Alabama.
But you know what? Here's the one thing I will say: if UCF gets to play Alabama in that bowl game, and UCF pulls off a win, I think the conversation is going to shift dramatically. I think you're going to see the committee start to favor those two. They have the chance. It was kind of like Western Michigan last year. They had the chance, and they played Wisconsin tough. Now, I think Wisconsin's a team that UCF could play tough. Just the way Wisconsin plays. There's certain matchups that would be better for them, for sure. You know, Oklahoma could be a little bit of a shootout between those two, although I think Oklahoma still wins by double digits. There's certain matchups they'd be okay in. I don't think SEC, the top three teams in the SEC or Clemson are matchups that would favor them in any way. I think they get blitzed in those games. So the style of play does matter a little bit. You can luck into a better matchup and stylistically be able to hang in there. So that deserves mention too. But if they were able to beat Alabama, then we're having a different conversation maybe.
Yeah, I think
UCF, maybe I get swayed some.
UCF has a chance to truly change the college football landscape if they can beat a team in a New Year's Bowl, depending on who it is. I mean, if it's Alabama, holy cow, man.
They could get Alabama. They could get Georgia. They could get a real tough one.
We're talking about we're having a serious conversation after this, and I think that the college football playoff committee is as well. If UCF ends this year, what are they now? Are they 12-0 now?
12-0, I think, yeah.
There's something, whatever. If they finish the year 13
or 11-0, yeah.
You know, whatever it is, then
– right.
We're having a conversation about it. So.
Right. Real quickly before we wrap up, top guys that stood out to you this weekend in terms of prospects. To me, man, Sony Michel has been absolutely unbelievable this season.
I mean,
he was just ridiculous against Georgia Tech. Two of his best runs in that game were as good as any I've seen in college football this season. I mean, he's a jaw-dropper. Like, I think, I know it's kind of lazy, but he reminds me, I don't think he's quite as explosive as Kamara is in terms of being able to leap and stop start a little bit, but man, they're both so shifty, so elusive, and they have great lower body strength. They don't get enough credit for their work between the tackles. I really like Sony Michel. I'm a big fan. I think I like him better than Nick Chubb as an NFL prospect. He's probably one of the biggest guys that stood out to me. Bryce Love running for 125 yards on a bum ankle. He continues to just light it up and impress me a whole lot. But Miles Gaskin is a guy we haven't talked about enough, and I thought he was – Washington State's defense has been legit all season, and Miles Gaskin made him look silly. 25 carries, 192 yards, 4 touchdowns. He has great balance, great lower body strength, and he's elusive. I know that people are going to complain about the smallness of his frame, and I get it, but man, he is a very refined back who's a lot tougher than he's built. I don't know. I am Miles Gaskin's going to be tough for me. I don't consider a lot of backs at that size, but he has some really nice traits on tape.
I thought Minka. I like Minka.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Even the loss, man. I like both of those two guys. I thought they showed out
yes.
in the game.
Yes, yes. Minka was exceptional. Oh my goodness.
So those would probably be my top two guys, man. That was a great game that we saw there. And then I didn't notice a lot of Carlson Davis because I wasn't. Able to watch the whole game like start to finish, but I saw a couple good plays from him as well. So again, I talked about him a couple of weeks ago, me finally getting on his train seeing the things that he could do. So those would probably be my three top guys.
Yeah, Carlton Davis, some good and some bad at a moment or two. I think he got beat, but yeah, overall, I thought another strong performance by him. He's definitely not a completely finished product just yet, but man, the length, the physicality, a lot of traits that you really like. He reminds me a little bit of Marlon Humphrey, I think, right now. You know, not exceptional with his back to the ball just yet, but he's getting there, I think, and does really well with the ball in front of him, and you know, has some good press technique and traits. And man, he's physical coming up as a tackler. He plays the game hard and aggressive. One last guy I'll mention, Jeff Holland, the edge pass rusher for Auburn. We've got to start talking about him, man. He's a beast. If you haven't checked him out, guys, check him out. He's good. Like, we could be talking about this guy as one of the top guys, I think. The only thing, I don't think he has great bend, and that worries me. Does he have the overall pass rush athleticism? But, man, he works the hands. He knows his angles. He's physical. He's strong. He can work inside you or through you. He has a lot of good traits, and he is a violent football player. I'm a big fan of Jeff Holland, so we'll keep an eye on him as we move through as well. We got a lot more cool stuff to talk about as the week rolls on. I know you're happy to have us back. We're happy to be back. Keep it locked right here on the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast.